Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
I'm Marvin Chubby.
I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Well, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's Friday, January 29th, last Friday of the month, Monday's the 1st, so just get it out of your system now. So we're here live. This is 7 p.m. Eastern time. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, unless we've got something else going on. You know, we're just truck drivers doing our side business here. This is not anything that we're actually... Everybody says, you know, oh, God, you guys are great and everything. Yeah, but we're not making any money. We're just doing it. This is out of the goodness of our hearts that we're doing this. And we appreciate everybody following along. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. You can check us out at redneckandeyes.com. And there you can get all the links to our social media accounts, YouTube especially. Please go subscribe. And then also a list of all of our sponsors. One of our great sponsors I like to mention, that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. That's those guys that has all of those emission system parts, EGR coolers, DPF filters, that what do they call it? You know, all the regen stuff that you have to have for the they call it SCR or something like that. It's a DEF fluid. That's it. All the stuff you got to have for that too and everything. But they also got into other things. I mean, they do the different stuff like the fuel treatment, oil treatments, filters. You know, they got parts. And that's one of the cool things. A lot of experience working on diesel engines, and they do all different sizes too. So check them out, dpfregeneration.com, or give them a call at 800-634-3010. And when you tell them, make sure that you appreciate them for support Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. That's dpfregeneration.com, 800-634-3010. Appreciate all their support. So what I was going to get back into today was just, you know, who you working for. And that question, it's a loaded question, because as truck drivers, it could be a bunch of different people. Or it could be like just, you know, whoever calls the shots, right? And to an owner-operator, it's like a different customer every day, every week, whatever, because it's whoever's calling the shots on how the job gets done, and that is your customer, that is your, that's who you're working for, and who's paying the bills. So as a company driver, it's the guy telling you what to do every day, the guy, the owner of the truck, the one that pays the bills, the one that pays you, that's the customer. Now, we as truck drivers always like to, you know, take it one step further and make sure that we provide good customer service, which is in return as a company. If you work for a company, the customer service is to the customer of the company. But always remember, you are working for the company. So that when you do your job is to satisfy the needs of your customer, the company. As a company driver, that's what I'm talking about. Because there was a post up on the one of the Facebook pages about a bad tire. And let's see here. I got it pulled up. So, yeah, we talked about it a little bit. And, you know, what should be done, what shouldn't be done, and everything like that. And I thought it was a good... a good little discussion, and it boils down to basically just what I mentioned. Who is your customer? Who do you work for? And who calls the shots? That's what it is. It's calling the shots. So to screen sharing here and show you this, and there it is. So this here was from a driver, had a question, says, my boss is refusing to place this tire He said, oh, it'll be all right. Says, put some air. Says, question that she had is, can I use my fuel card without the boss's permission to have them replaced and paid the tire at the TA or Loves? He says, we're a FedEx ground working for an independent contractor. And I'll just tell you off the bat, no. Okay. That's the biggest, that's the answer to the question is no. Don't spend the money. It's not your money. And the boss is, it's the boss's money, and they told you, no, don't do it. Now, when we look at the tire, it might be chewed up here in the middle right here. And if there is some, like, cord showing where you can actually see some of the steel belt in here, that's what you need to talk about, to think about. Now, the two things that I was always taught is that it's the cord, like the steel belt showing, or the tire depth. So if you measured the tire depth on this worn area right here and it was not within specs, then that tire is illegal because it's anywhere on the tire. It doesn't matter. Like, you can't just say, as long as it's on the deepest point, that's the good tire tread. No, it's basically wherever the DOT guy sticks the measuring device, but they're going to look for the most worn area, which is right here. Now, my other thing too is that if you don't see any cord and the tire depth is still good, still legal, and you don't get any huge vibration. Now, if you get a vibration when you're driving it, then there is a problem. So look at it. One of the other comments was flipping it. And everybody, of course, the reply was, well, it's directional. And the directional is only good for like the first 10,000 miles. You know, once you wear the tire in, I would say at least halfway. And this tire looks like it's about halfway. Most drivers, owner-operators, to kind of get the longer life out of a steer is once you get about a probably 30, 40, 50,000 miles on a steer, probably not even that much, just go ahead and flip it. Mostly you see people get like, I'm trying to think, when they get the tire tread, like you see people go through about, I mean, getting a 100,000 miles out of a steer, that's pretty damn good. But most people probably don't even take it that far. They probably get new steers, you know, some guys I've even known buy new steers every 6 months, no matter what. And of course, you're saying, what do you do with those tires are still good? Well, if you own the tractor and trailer, you can take these steers and you use them on the trailer. You know, the steer technically is an all-position tire. That's what it should be labeled as, is an all-position tire. It is supposed to be the best tire to use in any position. Now, you're probably not going to get as much traction using it as a drive, but a steer. There are steers that are made just for steers, but most of them all say all-position. Like when you go look it up, you're going to see labels. You're going to see trailer tire, you're going to see drive tire, and then you're going to see all-position. You never see just steers. So that's how they're made up. So the deal is that, you know, yeah, suggest it to the supervisor, the boss, whoever's in charge of paying the bills, let them know this is good. Now, if you work for one of these big companies where they would send somebody out or something, they'd probably want you to send pictures like this, and maybe even a picture of up close, because we want to be able to see up close here. It looks like it's been chewed up a little bit. And that's what my whole point is that if you get down in here and you can see cords. Now, if I was to, like, in the way this photo got loaded up, you can't really zoom. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. And that's it. So when you look at that cord down in there, you never know. But you could tell how this groove here is kind of messed up and kind of been pushed in right here. So there could be some issues with that. But that's the only thing, is if that's metal cord right there, then that tire's illegal. And that's what you got to do, is replace it when it gets that way. But if this is just worn down like this, and the tire's got a good, you know, 20,000 miles on it, just flip it and run it the other direction. And that way you will stop getting this war on this one spot. Chances are the tire, either the steering is out of alignment or the tire is out of balance. That's why you're getting this right here. So, yeah. The question was, can I get things fixed without the boss's permission because of it's being unsafe and all that? No. Your choices are to run it and or not drive and just call in sick or tell them, you know, and that's the decision you're going to make. One of the comments on our little group that we had a discussion about, it's one of those things where the relationship between the boss and the employee, you got to be able to trust them. That when they make that call, you can say, you know, well, you know more about it than I do, and I trust you, and I'm going to run. They should in turn trust you. If you don't like the way the tire looks, you know, and they want to appease you as a driver because you're the driver of the truck, then they should trust you either to fix or to want they should want to fix it because they trust you to make that decision whether it needs to be fixed or not. It all depends on where you're at. That was posed there. That is the boss there? Can they actually see it, or are you sending them pictures? Because that's not a good picture. That's what somebody said. Well, is the boss looking at this picture, or are they looking at the actual tire? Because from this picture, it doesn't look that bad. So that's another thing. You know, just like when you work for a big company and they tell you, send me pictures, make sure you get good pictures, which is like zooming in really, really deep down in there and get some good details and let them know, you know, what this is. If you see different stuff and it's different colors or it looks different, that tell them, I'm touching this. You know, even a video holding it over the deal and doing it and saying, look, I'm touching this right here with my finger, and that is metal, you know, whatever. That way they can understand, because if they're not there, then they don't really understand what they're looking at sometimes. So you gotta be able to do that, and I would recommend doing that stuff. But using, you know, getting things bought by the company card, you know, you're not paying for it, they are. You know, yeah, that's a good way to get in trouble because, I mean, technically that's stealing. That was one of the comments in our little group that we talked about. So technically that's stealing, and you can, you know, depending on the size of the company, and it really doesn't even matter. I mean, let's say that this is a contractor working for FedEx, and you'd go behind their back, and, you know, he doesn't really care, the boss there, you know, but once it gets back to FedEx, do they care? Because they want a certain conduct from their contractors. So that's another thing, you know, maybe FedEx has a problem with it. So those kind of things you got to watch out for, you know, so yeah. But that was a good little topic I wanted to start off with, because it is about, you know, who's in charge and who's not in charge, and who do you work for and who you don't work for. I remember back in the day, I don't remember people listening to Kevin Rutherford, and he was always catering owner operators, of course. And that was his deal, was that as an owner-operator, your customer is whoever it is paying the bills, which if you're an owner-operator, at least to a carrier, that carrier is your customer. Or if you're an independent, you know, it's whoever is signing your checks is who your customer is. And a lot of people thought of it as the shipper, but it's not. It's the carrier that you're contracted to. That's who your customer is. So, you know, that kind of thing. But as a supervisor, as a supervisor of drivers, you know, you do have to hold that in high regard, because you got to be able to trust them, and they got to be able to trust you, and that's the, you know, that's the moral of the story. So, know who your customer is, and whether or not you can trust them or not to make decisions on purchasing or making decisions on, you know, whether or not things can run or not run, you know, things like that. So, but you're the driver. So if something happens, it's on you. Just always remember that, and that's the kind of thing that we gotta always remember. So, come on now. There we go. So yeah, though that's what we talk about here on Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're always here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And you can call in, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. And we're here, like I said, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio Live, to check us out on YouTube. We're also on YouTube Live right now. You can follow along on there and check things out. I'm getting over here to the live chat to see how people are doing over there. And everything's quiet, nice and quiet over there. People just listening along. So, like to check us out, redneckandeyes.com. You can see this. We got sponsors over there. One of the great sponsors I'd like to listen to talk about right now is Load to Ride Transportation. That's LTRtransportation.com. They are a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. And where are they at? There they are. And that's the good folks over there. I've talked to a lot of their drivers, and man, they are drop dead busy, and they love Redneck and Eyes. So we appreciate all their support. And you can, like I said, check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. And we appreciate all of Load to Ride Transportation support of Redneck and Eyes. ltrtransportation.com. Appreciate all that. So so hang tight here. Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a minute. And the days are getting long. Waited all winter for the time to be right just to take you along. Baby, get ready. And it don't matter if we sit forever and the fish don't bite. Jump in a river and cool ourselves from the heat of the night.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio, and we're here live. You can call in at 515-602-9731, be part of the conversation. Just hit 1, and you can check us out at redneckandeyes.com. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody following along, listening on there. Make sure you go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And that is that's one of our great things that we got going on. We appreciate everybody's support of the YouTube channel. we always try to put out videos like this where we talk about problems on the road and how drivers handle the situation. One of the biggest videos that we got out there is just doing lease purchase and talking about driver shortage, how it's not really a thing, but we do have a shortage of good drivers out there. A lot of these Facebook pages you see with trucking involved in it, a lot of drivers out there, you know, how come these guys dress like the way they do? And that's the thing is, you know, the uniform of the driver is always being prepared for whatever might happen on the road, you know, outside the truck. Being inside the truck, going down the, yeah, I mean, nine times out of ten, you could technically spend a whole day inside the truck, even going down the road. You never have to get out of the truck. I mean, I know that sounds weird, but that's possible. And there's a lot of drivers out there, they dress like it too. That they, you know, it's kind of like how you wear your pajamas all day because you never leave the house. Yeah, truck drivers do the same thing. They wake up wearing this, and they start driving wearing the same clothes that they slept in and never even put their shoes on. And that crap's got to stop. Okay, knock it off right now. And what we're going to have to start doing is going to start saying something. You know, when you see a guy get out of the truck and he's wearing nothing but, you know, flip-flops, then you need to say something. Say, hey, go put your shoes on. This is not a beach. Okay? You know, the fuel island is not at the beach. The customer that you're at right now, this is not the beach. We're not at the beach. Go put your shoes on. You know? And that's one of the things to do is just walk away. You just, you know, hey, this ain't no beach. Go put some shoes on. And they can knock you back, and all you got to do is say, I'm done. I said what I said. Okay? And I'm done. So just go do your thing. I don't care. You know, I'm just telling you. That's the way it's got to be. You know? And yeah, I mean, crazy people out there, so you got to watch out. But, I mean, we're going to start saying something. Because saying anything on here online, well, the people that are out there wearing flip-flops and all that, they're not watching news. They probably can't even afford a cell phone. You know? And the one they do have, you know, it's paid by somebody else, and it's probably restricted. So yeah. That's the deal. Got to start saying something about these crazy drivers. And that's one of the things that is one of the drivers of a lot of comments on these Facebook pages talking about truck driving, where they put questions or any kind of experience out there on the road. That's what happens. So yeah, that's something's got to be said. You got to start saying something, you know? So yeah, I was just checking out the news, and CNBC has got a trucking CEO. And I was wondering if they had a video. And let's see, U.S. trucking CEOs expect to, it says, well, the article starts off when you click the link. It is trucking CEOs, plural, expect higher prices, potential disruptions in second half of the year. U.S. trucking CEOs expect to maintain pricing power even with volume softening in the second half of 2022 as retailers, manufacturers, and consumers adjust to disruptions from COVID lockdowns, the Russia-Ukraine war, and inflation. Well, I just got to tell you this. All that crap really doesn't affect us. I don't think so. But, you know, it affects the ports is what it affects the most. A recent survey of customers by Saia, a trucker for Starbucks, Home Depot, and Lowe's found a majority of companies are still working to figure out their next step and what the new normal is for their business, according to the CEO, Fritz, whatever his name is. They were talking a lot about continuing to rebuild inventory positions, straightening out their supply chains through the balance of the year, even into the first part of next year. And it looks like he said it on CNBC. So let's dive into this, see if we can get this moved over here and start our screen sharing over again. Keep it muted while the ad loads. There we go. There it is. All right, hold on a second. All right, here we go.
transports higher by 10% in July. Frank Holland is here to highlight the biggest individual gainers, including that mystery chart, which was XPO. Frank?
Well, hey there, Kelly. You know, it's not just XPO. ArcBest also up 20% this month. Other big trucking names rallying double digits, outperforming the S&P. A lot of this is due to the uncertainty around labor negotiations for both the West Coast ports, where about 45% of all imports enter, and labor negotiations with U.S. rail workers. Also, consumer spending numbers, they've remained strong despite inflation. Retail up 6% in June year over year and up 17% compared to pre-pandemic. The stickiness of e-commerce, another tailwind. I spoke with the CEO of Saia. That's a trucker for Starbucks and Home Depot. He says the volumes may be lower, but companies are putting a much higher value on reliability.
We expect to be able to continue to push our sort of pricing initiatives because we feel like it's very indicative of what the customer is getting in return, a very high-level service. So we feel pretty good about what those rates will look like through the balance of the year.
And as the West Coast port talks continue, we're really seeing a big shift in imports. The Port of New Jersey and New York, for example, seeing a double-digit increase last month. That's just another positive for trucking companies. They can charge more to help companies reconfigure their supply chains. Kelly?
So the message for a lot of investors, Frank, is simply the transports are a classic indicator to watch for market sell-offs, bear market, recession, you name it. And this month, it's going the other way.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, one phrase in the transport industry is that mystery equals margin. The more questions there are about labor negotiations, backups, you know, warehouse space, things like that, that's actually better for most transport companies.
True, although I guess, you know, we can have the wrong kind of mystery that we've saw for much of the early part of the year. They seem to be hit with this double whammy, like you said, of labor and freight costs. They couldn't just benefit from this booming economy. Do you think that's changing now? We've seen a reset in fuel costs. I'm not so sure about the labor side, though.
Well, the labor side, especially for the rails, that is a bit challenging. Some of the rail companies have flagged they hire people, but people go to their training classes, if you will, and they decide it's just not for them. It's very demanding work. And in many cases, you have to work long hours. For truckers, it's a bit of a different story. Labor is more expensive, but it's more available.
All right. And there we can see a lot of these stocks are still down, you know, more than 10% easily for the year. This month, though, marking a little bit of a trend. Frank, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our Frank Holland on the transport.
Right then and there. First off, he ended it by saying that the trucking is more available. So there's drivers available. They're not a shortage. That's what he just said. You know, so I don't know if he did that because of the being, I think he might have meant trucks are available. I don't know. But everybody's still saying they're having a hard time hiring drivers. And they're having a hard time hiring good drivers, drivers that are qualified to get hired. So what's coming down to it is that the insurance companies are dictating to the carriers who they can hire. So if you're a driver out there and you got a bad record, whether it's a work record, driving record, you know, you get a lot of violations, stuff like that. Insurance company is going to say no. So just know that for a fact there. But he also, if you noticed, when they talked about the ports increasing, it wasn't really the LA port. It was more the Houston port and the Jersey ports. Houston, it was up there 11%. Well, I talked to an owner of a company that does a lot of owner operators, and he said his business has increased by 40%. So, you know, for this year, since last year. So yeah, he's been drop dead busy in Houston, and he's mainly out of Houston. He says he's got a few trucks that kind of run over the road into the other ports and all that. He can run out of the Jacksonville and Miami port, but he said it's mainly Houston, and it's busy. So those kind of things is what you see, and that right there could just tell you that, you know, hey, it's not that bad. You know, when everybody says it's getting bad, it's not that bad. And I don't think it'll ever be that bad again. You know, I mean, as long as the federal government keeps spending crazy amounts of money, I don't think it ever going to be that bad because it's propping up everything. I mean, here in where I live, there is a military base, and it's a lot of civilian contractors where they work on military equipment. Or they do, you know, military research. Like there's a couple of companies that have Department of Defense contracts where they work on equipment and everything, and they've got a hangar over there at the Naval Air Station. And then we got the Border Patrol, their big like AWACS planes. They got some radar planes that are over there, and they're based there in the Naval Air Station here in Corpus Christi. And of course, there's Marines. There's a canine training unit here at the Naval Air Station. And of course, well, the biggest thing is they call it an Army Depot, which is basically it's all logistics where they get a lot of parts for working on a lot of the helicopters. And there's Apaches and Blackhawks over here getting worked on. And it's the civilians that are working on them. And mostly it's all civilian. The Army Depot is pretty much run by civilians. There's hardly any military over here at all. The military is kind of just a support because it is a Department of Defense deal. So some of the, you know, mainly most of all the stuff is all either civilian or Border Patrol kind of stuff that you see flying around. There's a few jets that you see some naval pilots use or whatever. But, you know, I guess what you could say is that the military either trains or that's who ends up flying the planes for the Border Patrol is the Navy. So, you know, I see pilots around here a lot. You see them, they got the funny haircuts, you know, we're in the shades, you know, they think, and they've got the little short mustaches. Oh man. All right. But what I was saying about that was that supports the community, the government organizations here, and it pretty much keeps this community alive. The only other thing we got here is the oil refinery, and they move pretty good because it's their base of operations. Now, a lot of people I know here that live here, sometimes they have to go work out of town for the oil refineries because those oil refineries, they're not hiring. Their steady employment is here, not in the small towns where you would think that, you know, once an oil company, drilling company, whatever, you know, establishes some type of, like, you know, drilling site or pumping stations or pipeline expansions, you would think that those employees they hire would be from that town that they're working in. And that's not the case. It's cheaper for them to take people that work here and say, go out there, stay in a hotel, or drive out and back every day, depending on how far it is, and do the work instead of hiring people that live locally. So don't think just because somebody's starting construction, you know, it's a funny thing too. Construction's one of those things too. A lot of the construction companies that are working on different sites here where I live, they're not from here. They're from, like, you know, Hardigan and McAllen and San Antonio. You know, they're not from here. There's no company that can, you know, do the job like the customer wants, whether it be a car dealership or, you know, Walmart or a grocery store or you know, any kind of shopping mall. When they do those expansions and working on parking lots and stuff like that, they're all from out of town. You know, so, and that kind of thing, that's where, you know, you think, hey, you know, that's good for the community. Yeah, but who's doing the work really? You know, is it locally or is it not locally? And that's where the different support comes in. So I tell you all right now, if you're living in a big city, and like here, it's only 300,000, you know, just over that, and it's a military town. It's got a military base, Naval Air Station. It's got a university, and it's, you know, Division II. It's not a big one, but it's a university. It's got a local community college, you know, and that community college has, like, the welding, mechanics, truck driving, all that stuff. And then you got the oil refineries. Those things keep this the community going and nothing else. You know, and we all support that. You know, as a truck driver, that's what I do. I deliver to job sites, construction. I deliver to the base. I deliver to the university. And one of our biggest customers is the university. You know, and it's like once a week, the major shipment. You know, what do you call the refineries? And the refineries, it's all different stuff, you know. And, of course, the refineries, what revolves around that is the shipping. You know, there's some container stuff, something like that, but not that much. It's all tankers. And you see, in fact, the other night I was down there by the water, and not just tankers with the oil, but barges with the tugboats, you know, with the oil. And it's all oil-based. So So you could say, well, what about the shipping and the harbor and all that? Well, that's all support for the oil, you know. I can't say that's part of it, because if it wasn't for the oil, they wouldn't be here. You know, it's because of the, I mean, yeah, you're by the water. Makes sense to build a refinery so you could export it. But other than that, it wouldn't exist. It wouldn't be anything here, you know. So that's the way it is. The refinery is like right on the water, you know, where they can just pull a barge up and hook it up and load it up, you know. But if you're out there in one of them little small communities where there ain't much nuts, unless you like it like that, you know, and you can make a good living, more power to you. But if you're out there trying to make your way and you don't want to live in a big city, but you can't make any headway in the small town you're in, it's time to get out. Time to get going. You know, hey, go out there, live in a big city, make your money, and then go back and you know, then go country, you know, once that's done. But don't sit there in the country. You know, I remember truck drivers that come in working for a big company like back in the day. They were students, new to truck driving. They live out in the middle of nowhere, and they became a truck driver, and the only place they can get hired with no experience with this big company. And they say, well, I want a local job. You know, I live out in the country and all this. Dude, you're in the wrong business. I said, unless you get hired by somebody else or you go buy your own truck, that ain't happening. This company here does not run local in the Middle East Texas, okay? So, yeah. But kind of, you know, that happens. And just like you say, it's not that bad, you know. But if you're in certain areas, it can be. It can be pretty bad. You know, you just got to watch out. Let's see. There we go. So, yeah, we're just trucking right along. We've got about 20 minutes left. We're going to slide out of here, take a little break, and we hope everybody's enjoying their evening. Like I said, check us out at redneckandeyes.com. You can call us through here. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731. Give us a holler. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. Or we're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And hang tight here. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a bit.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
You need cooling, baby, I'm not fooling. I'm gonna send you back to schooling. Way down inside, honey, you need it. I'm gonna give you my love. I'm gonna give you my love.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here back. Got about a little less than 20 minutes left. call in, 515-602-9731, be part of the conversation. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, and just give us a holler. We're talking about all things on the road and then some. This is life on the road and how to handle problems or take care of stuff or just, you know, how trucking should be in general. Just a minute ago, I was talking about the groups on Facebook where they were talking about, you know, what's going, you know, a lot of times you think they ask questions or they make a little comments, you know, and kind of get an opinion about everything. And a lot of the things that draw the comments is about how the drivers dress. And we got to put a stop to that right now. The trucker uniform is, you should be dressed in an appropriate way to handle anything that might happen outside the truck, out anywhere, whether it be on the road, out there in the middle of nowhere, you know, whether it be hot or cold, it doesn't matter, be ready for it always. And, you know, if you had to jump out of the truck and go help somebody, could you? So if you don't wear your shoes while you're driving, then you stop that right now. Because if something happened and you had to jump out of the truck, you're not ready. Okay? You got to wear shoes appropriate for, you know, getting out of the truck in the fuel island or in the maintenance shop, walking around, handling stuff, climbing on the truck if you need to. You know, that kind of thing, you need to be able to be doing that right away. You know, I always suggest to wear some type of long pants or, you know, at least some type of, you know, uniform that you're required to wear by a company. But most of the time when you see an owner-operator, he's wearing boots and jeans and some kind of shirt that, you know, he don't mind getting dirty. So that kind of deal. So, yeah, be ready. But the only way to put an end to that is just we got to start saying something. So if you're at a truck stop in a fuel island and you see a guy get out and he's got his flip-flops on and all that, you know, just walk up. You don't even have to just get into a conversation with him. You know, it's just kind of walking by. Just kind of say, hey, this ain't no beach. Go put some shoes on and just keep walking. And if he wants to continue the conversation, you just know, I'm done. That's all I got to say. See you. Bye. Have a good day. You know, and walk away, you know. Maybe even kind of do it in public where, you know, there's a lot of people around, you know. And, of course, you don't want to be the only one there wearing good shoes, you know. So if you see five people wearing flip-flops, you know, then just shake your head and walk home because apparently that's a gang or something. they're definitely working together somehow in cahoots. But, yeah, you know, that's one of those things. So we got to just put an end to that, and that's the kind of thing that we talk about here on Redneck and Eyes Radio, is bringing back the brotherhood of trucking and how it once was, but also we need to bring back the way drivers act back then, where we take care of each other, we don't look out for, you know, we don't want any kind of like the crazy stuff that goes on the road out here where we see problems with, you know, families getting discouraged or whatever being out here on the road. We want truck drivers to be, you know. I mean, that's what people need to understand is that, you know, when you're out here all traveling across the country with your family and you might, like, you know, look at a truck driver in a funny way that say, hey, you know, don't hang out with those people, you know, or try to get away from them. Just remember that that guy's got a family too, and he's working. So he can't be with his family right now, but you're with yours. And a lot of times you see those truck drivers, they're the ones just like Big Joe in Phantom 309. You know, they'll do what it takes to keep your family safe no matter what. So just know that. So, trucking is definitely, it attracts all kinds, and we got to start weeding out the ones that we got a problem with. And, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, and everybody, some people might say there's a race of people that have problems or they're a type of people and all that. And it's, you know what, I've seen it all. Okay. Don't try to tell me it's a particular, I mean, yeah, you might be able to count, you know, 7 or 8 times out of 10, you'll see the same type of person, but I've seen them all. So I'm blaming everybody. You know, like I said, even if you don't speak out against it, when you pull up to a fuel island and you see a guy wearing flip flops, and if you don't start saying something, they're just going to keep doing it. So it don't matter who it is, you know? But yeah, you just got to start saying something. Got to start sticking up for our job here. And basically it's just dressing appropriately and acting appropriately too. And one of the things that I don't like, and a lot of drivers I see online, they say that's their last resort, but it's something that they got to do, is park on the side of the road. Okay, that's not an option. Get off the highway. If you need to stop, for any reason other than, you know, if the truck breaks down and can't go anywhere, okay, yeah, we got a problem. But if you just pull off on the side of the road, you know, I mean, if there is, and a lot of places out there on the interstate especially have a, like, shoulder, which is from the white line over to the grass, it's really wide, and you can pull off and not be, you know, you'll be to the right of that white line, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. Just because you're on the right side of that white line, you are not right. Okay, that is not a good place to be. Just telling you, it's not a good place to be. Get off the road. If you can, get off the road. All right? If you're having a problem with a tire, and maybe especially a trailer tire, and probably a drive tire would be okay too, you could get off the road. It's not hard to take that vehicle off the road with one flat tire from, you know, one axle on that. Steers, yeah, I get it. It ain't going to go nowhere. You're stuck. Okay? But, you know, even having a, if you're going down the road, most of the tires that blow are trailer tires. So if you get a blowout on a trailer tire, there's no need to just pull off on the side and just sit there. Okay? If you can, which, you know, a lot of places I understand, the exits are few and far between. But in most places, especially the route I take every night, which is, you know, up on Interstate 35 between San Antonio and Austin, there's plenty of exits. Take the next exit. There's a service road. There's always a service road in Texas, especially. But look for that. Look for that outlet to get off the highway. You know, I mean, the worst case scenario is you'll be at the top of the hill, an off ramp. That's the worst thing you should do to get off the highway. But at least you're off the highway. Okay. But I'm talking about get on the service road somewhere. I'd rather you be on the side of the road taking up part of the service road lane than you to be sitting on the shoulder of the interstate. Okay, the interstate, they're moving 80 miles an hour. Okay, on the service road, the speed limit's 45. Okay, so there's a difference, right? And you understand that if you're on the service road, there's people pulling out in front of you, there's traffic moving in and out, crossing, turning, whatever, and there's slow traffic everywhere. If you're driving a vehicle and you say, I'm on a service road, I'm not on the interstate, I can't just do what I want. People on the interstate, they get comfortable, and you're just asking for trouble because they get comfortable, you know. Even truck drivers, they get lost in the music they're singing, or, you know, they're reaching for something because they're trying to get their, you know, the sandwich opened or something like that. And on the interstate, because they got the crew set and everything, they feel a little bit more comfortable. And they don't expect anybody to be sitting there blocking anything. So, you know, it's like even running crossing the line a time or two, you know, especially in the middle of the night, you know, truck drivers are going to be crossing that line, you know, so you just get off the road. That's not an option. If you are if you're getting on your 10 hours and you need a place to stop and there's no parking anywhere and you just say, well, I'm just going to pull over here off to the side. I even say there's a couple of places on Interstate 35 down there where I see where there's a good gravel, like a hard gravel between like where the wall is for a bridge or overpass or whatever. And then you got a shoulder, which is a good width, a lane width. And then past that, you got like some hard gravel and trucks pull off into that gravel area off of the deal. I'll say even that's bad. You know, when these states put up a parking area off to the side, you know, because drivers want more parking, more parking is needed. The safety company, you know, the FMCSA says, yeah, states, y'all need to provide more parking. And all they do is they lay some gravel down on the side of the highway and say, pull off over there. That's bad. That's not good. State official were there. I tell him, I said, that's not right. That's not parking. That's some kind of pull off. That's not a parking spot. So don't park there. You know, I don't park there. I don't want anybody else parking there. You know, if there's a chance for a truck or a four-wheeler to fall asleep or lose control and hit you while you're sitting there, that's not a good place to be. That's plain and simple. That's all I got to say. So, yeah, with that, I'm going to leave y'all to it because I'm going to work. And I'm going to say some things. So, you know, get something done here. But, you know, like I said, check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We're planning on being at the Truckers for Hope Truck Show coming up in September. See if I can find it on my sheet here. That's not it. That's it. We'll go in some screen sharing business. Move it over. And there you go. Truckers for Hope, September 23rd through the 25th, Clinton County Fairgrounds in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania. That's up there on Interstate 80, up there by State College, up in the mountains. Looks pretty fun. They got some videos from the past shows where they have some good benefits. It's all about the family and the kids. You know, they got tractor pools, they got tractor rides, and looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So Redneck and I, we're shooting to be there. And we hope to see everybody there hanging out. We got stuff to give away, and we got stuff. We even got stuff on the website. If you go to our website, redneckandeyes.com, we got T-shirts and hats you can order, and we'll get them out to you. And if you want, you know, let's say that you saw some stuff that we got, like, you know, we still got some masks and some little giveaway items. And you say, oh, I want one of those. Well, meet us at the truck show. And we'll have them, or just order, you know, buy a T-shirt, and we'll send you some stickers. You know, the T-shirts, that's what costs us most money. And like I said, we're not doing this. You know, we're trying to grow Redneckanized to where we can do this all the time. But this is not our job. You know, we don't get paid to do this. Everything that we earn as far as revenue from, you know, donations or sales or everything goes right back into Redneckanized to help Redneckanized. So know that, you know, everything that I do and Greg and Tiffany and Robbie and we got, you know, Jeff and Holly, Kelly and Jessica and everybody, it's all volunteers. It's all volunteers. Nobody receives any type of benefit for helping us out. So appreciate everybody's support on doing that. And appreciate all of our sponsors, too. Don't forget, we got Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. And, of course, Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. Go check them out. You can find the links to all of their websites on our website, redneckandeyes.com. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731, and that's where we're at. Let's see. I forgot what this one was. Here we go. So, yeah, we'll close it all out and have some fun. But, like I said, we'll see y'all Monday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731. And just remember, you know, when you see drivers acting up, you know, you're going to have to say something. And you don't have to, like, you know, start a confrontation or an argument or any kind of that. Just say something. Like, that ain't cool. You know, go put some shoes on. You know, the pajama party was at home. Where you're at work now. Get dressed. Go put some clothes on. That kind of thing. So, and then just continue on. Just don't even worry about it. Just, you know, hey, I said what I said. I'm done. So you can not like it or like it. You know, that's it. Till next time, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. We'll see y'all later.
Records. Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.